cramps. Your gums swelled, your skin itched, and your bowels stopped up. And then doctors would prescribe you all sorts of pills instead of telling you to drink more water. Today, her usual two glasses required Herculean effort. But at long last, she completed the task and stood there panting for a moment, as if she'd just performed some major athletic feat. The pounding and buzzing intensified. The noise was coming from all directions, from inside her head, outside it, and now that she thought about it, from her front door, too. She cast a doubtful eye at the door, as if it would be able to explain what was going on if she glared at it demandingly enough. Apparently, there truly was someone out there trying to batter their way in with a sledgehammer. Siri started looking around for her handbag. It wasn't on the telephone table or in the living room, nor was it on her bed or nightstand. It turned up on the wicker chair in the entryway, right where it was supposed to be. She slipped it over her arm, a defence against any and all misfortune, and cautiously cracked the door. "Cock-a-doodle-doo!" rang out so high and shrill that the boring and bashing momentarily ceased. Irma was awake.
"Isn't it dreadful? It's like we've gone to hell, which is where we'll find ourselves if this keeps up, since we refuse to die like decent people. A little mass euthanasia might be just the thing now. Durden, Durden, Durden."
"Irma, what are you doing up at this hour?"
"Are you deaf? My apartment's being smashed to bits by a sledgehammer. A fellow with a beard showed up in the middle of the night, marched into my bathroom and started work. I was so startled I just threw something on and dashed down here for refuge. Do you have any breakfast for me?"
Irma certainly was energetic. Despite the hour, she was wearing a stylish blue summer dress and a white crocheted shawl over her shoulders. Her footwear, however, was pink and peculiar. Plastic shower shoes of some sort.
"Crocs! They're the latest craze,"
Irma explained, as she opened Siri's fridge to see if there was any cake for breakfast.
"Did you hear those construction workers talking to each other? Blathering like the Tower of Babel outside my front door before 6 in the morning. I'll tell you, though, one of them could swear quite proficiently in Finnish. The fucks were flying. That's what woke me up."
Siri had never heard the word cross Irma's lips before. She looked in surprise at her friend, who blithely continued rummaging through the fridge, humming a song from her youth. "Life's a gas and we'll be fine, now that I'm yours, now that you're mine." Siri pointed Irma towards the foil-wrapped pound cake on the bottom shelf. It was 2 days old, or rather she'd bought it 2 days ago. In all likelihood, it had been baked a month ago, somewhere in the Baltic countryside. What difference did it make? It still tasted delicious. Siri turned on the tap, but nothing happened. The water had been turned off, and without warning. Luckily, there was still some in the kettle from yesterday. Siri put it on to boil and took the instant coffee from the cupboard. She knew Irma thought cake tasted best when it was dipped in coffee.
"Yum, cakesies," Irma said. "And cakesies always need a good dunking. That's what makes them so good. Oh, my! Luckily noise doesn't deafen the taste buds."
They sat at Siri's table, enjoying their cake and coffee and browsing through the newspaper. An incessant thunder rumbled overhead as if someone were jackhammering Siri's ceiling. A counterpoint was provided by arrhythmic blows from next door, where someone appeared to be pounding on the floor or wall of Irma's apartment. As usual for a summer Monday, there was precious little of interest in the paper. There were only 2 obituaries, both equally dull. They scanned the titles of the deceased. "Beloved engineer, grandfather and brother, dearly missed director of public sanitation."
"Is Olav Edvard's family really trying to say they loved him for being an engineer?"
Irma said, and she cackled so hard that she choked on her cake. She coughed for a while, coughed and cackled, swatted the air and dabbed at her watering eyes with her handkerchief.
Oh, my! Shall we put a beloved typist in your obituary?"
She took a big swig of coffee and chuckled some more.